It was just being a first-year head coach. I'd been a part of it before. Just really wanted to get through that first season training camp, and I didn't want it to be. And this was a decision that was made long before the draft. It was just something that that I just felt in my gut, just didn't want to be a part of the first year. I saw the positives of it, but I think there's some negatives to it as well. And just not having a good feel for our roster, just as far as the chemistry and the personalities and all that, that's kind of going into some uncharted territory to agree to do that right out of the gate. And I think that's why the league gives the teams that are in first year the right to not be a part of that pool of teams that they can potentially require to do it.
Mike, does it make the job of the coaching staff more difficult from your experience with it?
It can. I think it's just something that I just always felt if there's anything that causes us to think for one second about something other than preparing our football team for the opener, then that's probably not a good thing. So there are some distractions involved with it. I see the other side of it, the positives that can be there, but from a staff standpoint, that's something that we have to factor in.
Did they make a second push after the draft?
That I don't know. I'm not sure. I personally was not approached about it. It wouldn't shock me if we were asked about it again, but we weren't going to stray from our initial answer.
Mike, how does the intensity of minicamp pick up from OTA?
It does naturally, and I don't know if that was noticeable today, but just I could feel it just kind of being by both huddles, and just the conversations between the huddles were less than pleasant, a little bit more so today than maybe during OTAs. But our guys love to compete, and that comes out. You can tell that. And anytime it's a situation like we did at the end, where it's an unscripted period, and it's a move the ball. I'm sure we'll do some 2-minute work before this camp's done, where those can get. Those can get ratcheted up even higher.
Mike, could you address why the quarterbacks are not being made available this week?
They had been made available. I don't think the message will be that different than it was before. So it was something that was just in our rotation of things that we just didn't feel that it needed to be done.
Could you clarify what's wrong with Antonio?
He has an injury. He'll be out of camp. He does have an ankle injury. I don't know the specifics of it. I just know it's enough to hold him out of this camp, and I know that he'll be ready to go day one of training camp. We do have some guys nicked up, and I'll repeat the policy for those who are new, is that I won't speak on specifics of injuries if they're going to not prevent a guy from making the start of training camp. So really the only guys that are potential holds late would be Travis, and that would be more of just to give him a little bit extra time. He could start on PUP. But everybody else should be good to go for the beginning of camp.
Mike, why the move with Quentin Groves? And then do you feel you have enough depth at outside linebacker?
We do. We're going to cross-train some guys. Kirksey's going to take some work at outside backer. I think we have the – we always want to be in the position of putting the best 11 out there. So we will cross-train guys. And that's difficult in year one of a program when you're trying to get guys to master their original position. You don't want them to become the old jack of all trades, master of none. But at some point, you realize that when the roster gets trimmed down, and then you realize you got to sit another 8 guys on game day, that you have to have some guys that know multiple jobs. And going back to the Quint thing, I won't get into the specifics, but it was Ray and I discussed the roster almost every day, and it was a move that we felt was in the best interest of the Browns. And with veteran players that have a chance to latch on somewhere else, that we would prefer to do it sooner than later. So they do have the opportunity to move on.
Mike, you talk about the development of the receiving core, and especially guys like Armstrong and Chandler Jones, some of those guys.
Yeah, Anthony's come in and it's just been the ultimate professional. He's a guy who shows up to work every day. He has a little bit of an advantage coming in because he knew the system, having been with Kyle in Washington. But he's definitely, despite his age, that has some juice left for sure. I'm sure you guys saw that today. And he's a good example for the young receivers, how to prepare, how to take care of your body, how to be an ultimate pro. So it's the situation's been good that we've been able to get a lot of receivers in there and get a look at a lot of those guys. And I'm looking forward to camp when we can get that position sorted out.
To go back to the quarterbacks, the interest in Manziel.
Sure.
Know the pressure we're under to provide stories. It's cover the guy, cover the team. Isn't there a balance there between, doing the right thing for the team and protecting him, and also making him available at the end of a minicamp to just assess where he is?
I understand the balance, but personally, my feeling on that is I'm going to err towards the side of the team if it's close or even to the middle. I mean, that's the approach that we discussed it as a staff, and that's the way that we decided to go.
When Johnny went to Las Vegas for that one trip, you told him have fun, and he told you about it ahead of time. Does he talk to you about the trips he's made the last 2 weekends?
No, because I told him that I didn't feel like he had to come to me every time he was going to leave town. And the philosophy here is we're not going to micromanage the guys. I was involved with an event this weekend, and if there were some cameras at certain times, it probably wouldn't have been the most flattering. It was a group of coaches out. We had a good time, but we were responsible. And when it becomes irresponsible, or when it becomes part something where it involves breaking the law, or something that we feel is a potential problem, we'll step in. We have Jamil Northcutt does a great job in Russell, Maryland, with the rookie programs, educating those guys. And we're going to bring in speakers for those, not just the rookies, but for the whole team, just to kind of talk about all the potential issues off the field, whether everything from the financial issues to drugs, to alcohol, to try to do our best to educate those guys so they make great choices when they're out of the building.
Where do you draw the line with?
Well, it's difficult to when we're in that simulated 11-on-11. It's difficult defensively to use a lot of those reps with the first defense. So that's why we're rotating the units so much. But we feel we're being cautious with it. But to me, it's too big of a risk to take of the downside if somebody does crash into them. But I don't feel it's that significant of a difference that he's not getting the work. He's still getting the 11-on-11 work, calling the play in the huddle. So we feel we're kind of walking that line down the middle, and he knows that he was frustrated, but he only has two more days to deal with Spartan mode, and then he'll be full go by the time we get to camp. I don't think he's losing ground. I think he's frustrated because he sees, hey, my unit's the ones, and I'm not there out there with it. That it's frustrating for him, but he understands very begrudgingly understands why we're doing it. And he is the ultimate competitor, I'm glad that he came and talked to me about it. I'm glad that he feels the way that he is, because I don't think he would be what you'd be looking for in a quarterback if he wasn't just wearing everybody out to try to get out there full go. I'm sorry, start that again. It is. I think Brian anticipates very well, and I think that's one of the bigger differences between college football and the NFL is college quarterbacks at times, sometimes based on their system too, they wait till guys get open to throw the ball, and that's a very common thing. That it's rare to have a guy coming out of college who can anticipate the break, whereas Brian understands that the windows are a lot smaller in the NFL, and I think the younger quarterbacks are kind of finding out how tight the windows are in the NFL. But anytime you can throw it before a receiver's open and have it arrive as he's getting open, that's the way to go for sure.
You or the offensive coaches know much about this Charles Johnson, and you haven't been able to see much in the field of him. What is your scouting report?
We don't. Very anxious to see him. We went back and watched some tape from him at Grand Valley, and he was impressive there. And just the things that we've heard from the information that we got from Green Bay when he was on the I believe he was on the practice squad and playing very well. So we don't know much, but he's a guy that's been great in the meetings. He knows the system very well, and very much looking forward to getting him out there.
Mike, what have you thought? Are you not concerned at all about the things that we've seen on social media of John Thibodeau consistently from the first night he was drafted all the way up until now, that sort of is portraying
I'm not concerned. I would become concerned if there was something criminal, and I'd be concerned if it affected his job. I think there's a lot of our guys, if they were, when they leave here, if they were followed around, you'd get some very similar pictures. I don't know about an inflatable swan, but I think there you'd still get some pictures.
How's he playing based on what you saw today?
I think he's getting better. I think he's getting more comfortable in the huddle, calling the plays. I think he has a very nice touch with the deep ball. and that he shows that we've added some of the zone read stuff that Kyle had run with RG3 in Washington, and he's done a nice job handling that. But he makes improvement every day, and that's all that we ask of him.
Mike, guys, we got to get Coach going. Tom here, and then we'll go over.
About Johnny, all eyes are on him all the time. Are you worried about him maybe putting himself, exposing himself, and putting himself in a bad situation?
I don't, because I think it's something that he's used to. I think he understands that comes with the territory. But I also think he's a young man that he doesn't want his lifestyle or how he lives it to be affected by social media. That he's not going to, hey, I'm only going to, hey, I'm not leaving my house. I don't think he wants to be that way. And it just goes back to, one, we're not going to micromanage him until we feel it is an issue. And if it's not affecting him on the field, then I don't think it's anything that we need to address at this point.
Guys, we've got time for one last question. Is it Nate?
What are your impressions of how Jabal Shue's been fitting into the scheme, and how do you think he'll be able to best use him?
He's been impressive. I mean, he was a guy that liked coming out of Pitt. I was very encouraged watching the film from last year. We talk about the play like a Brown attributes, and we want a guy that plays like his hair's on fire. And he, if I had to pick one guy that I think matches, that fits that, the first name I would come up with is Jabal. He's versatile. I think we can move him around. He can play with his hand down. He can play up. His drop skills are more than adequate. And he plays violent. And it's tough for him in this arena when it's no pads. I think he'll show up even better when we have the pads on, and his physicality will be much better used.